Welcome, everyone, to the latest All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Boy, what an eventful start to the NFL draft weekend for the Detroit Lions. On Wednesday afternoon, following a draft event that I attended, got a chance to interact with several of the top 13 prospects that were invited by the NFL to attend the draft in person. Was talking to Darius Robinson, talking to Caleb Williams, talking to Jaden Daniels, and just getting everything situated. And then the news started breaking after Roger Goodell left the event, got a quick chance to say hello and welcome to Detroit before he departed the great event that children attended and got a chance to run drills with some of the top draft prospects. Then the news started to come in that general manager Brad Holmes indeed started cooking early in this process before the draft, just 24 hours before the 2024 NFL draft. Brad Holmes decided and finalized two big contract extensions. And at the time I'm recording this, there could be one more still. This podcast is going to also feature later on an interview with former Detroit Lions quarterback Eric Kramer, going to talk about the Detroit Lions draft strategy, the past winning a playoff game for the Lions, and his thoughts regarding the upcoming 2024 season for the Lions. And what's the potential for the Lions to maybe even get the Lombardi Trophy, like Sheila Hem said at the draft, at the new uniform reveal event. She said the goal for 24 is to bring home the trophy. So I'm looking forward to the conversation with former Lions quarterback Eric Kramer. But Brad Holmes, boy, he decided to reward those that have performed at a high level. And it's well-deserved. You can't argue that Amon-Ra St. Brown should not be one of the top wideouts in the entire National Football League, earning a four-year contract, $120 million, with $77 million guaranteed. And those align with the numbers that all lines put out. Once Devonta Smith signed, it kind of put into focus what Amon-Ra St. Brown could make. You knew, just based on St. Brown's production, that he could exceed the contract that Smith got with the Eagles. Got $77 million guaranteed. Now, the fine details will come out later regarding average annual salary, how many void years, the way in which the contract was specifically structured. And then as we're all processing that, what the contract that St. Brown signed meant for Taylor Decker, what it meant for Penei Sewell and Jared Goff, just a couple hours later, the news broke that Penei Sewell indeed now is the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. Now, that probably could be passed relatively quickly with just the sheer number of talented offensive linemen that there are, and these contracts now setting the market repeatedly. But for the time being, well-deserved contract extension, $112 million. And you look at it and you say another 4 years with a great right tackle, maybe eventually could be the replacement for Taylor Decker. But clearly, the strategy has now been set. And when you look at it, Brad Holmes sticks to his word in that when you draft and develop, the primary dollars are going to be allocated for their own. Players that have been cultivated in the system have come in and understood exactly what the expectations are, understand what Dan Campbell and the coaching staff are indeed trying to accomplish. So for Brad Holmes, it's a monumental day on a Wednesday afternoon to lock up Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, two pillars of the Lions, foundational pieces that are going to be around for the Detroit Lions. And boy, when you look at the market for wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown definitely better be getting texts from young wide receivers who thank him for the work that he did to set the market. When you look at a wide receiver earning $30 million a year, you can't, I know many will say, you know, from the outside, you heard a lot of Bears fans chirping incorrectly and probably jealously because they don't have a single player that probably in the future, you know, in the next 4 years is going to top what Amon-Ra St. Brown does. And you look at it and you say, wow, St. Brown is going to be somebody that I think is going to, you know, emerge and be a top four, top three receiver in terms of many statistical categories. So look, Brad Holmes understands the salary cap and understands how to allocate different funds for different players. But now the big question mark is going to be, you know, maybe by the time this airs, the deal may be announced regarding Jared Goff or how they work it out in regards to, you know, securing Jared Goff for the foreseeable future. But you have two pieces in place in Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, and you now can go into the 2024 season with two guys feeling very comfortable about their situation. And for Penei Sewell, doesn't even have to wait for the fifth year option. They know that, look, this is a pillar. He's a foundational piece. He's the starting point for the offensive line. And as they rebuild it, which it, the offensive line will need to be tinkered with the aging, you know, other members of the line. You have three members over the age of 30. You know, Brad Holmes is going to retool that offensive line. You now have your potential left tackle of the future all set. And the man that will be potentially in charge of guarding and protecting the quarterback's blind spot in the future will be locked up for the foreseeable future. And now you look at it and we all turn the page to see what the numbers could look like for Jared Goff. Does he still get and command $50 million when the Lions, who saved a bunch of money in cap for these extensions, they've doled out two of them? I'm a little bit surprised that Goff maybe wasn't first, but I think those details need to be hammered out, you know, in regards to maybe the years, the average annual salary. Does Goff want to also set the market? Does he want to be in that $50 million range? But for Brad Holmes to kick off draft week with these, with the breaking news of having pillars signed to long-term extensions, it's only great news for the Lions. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to talk to the media a little bit in an event that's going to also feature the military, a wonderful event for those veterans and opportunities that Amon-Ra is going to have around the community before the draft to talk about his contract. He's already come out and said, look, four more years, let's roll. And he's a player that you can count on to continue to contribute. Two guys that you have no doubt that if you give them money, it's not going to change them in the slightest in regards to their performance on the field. Two guys that you can trust will be here and compete at the highest levels. Two pillars, two of the best at their positions. And the Lions, true to their word, most importantly, draft and develop and allocate resources to those that have helped the team take the next step. And for Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei Sewell, those are two guys that when you look at the terms of their deal, you could even say they're underpaid in regards to how much they mean to the Detroit Lions organization. And it'll be very interesting now to see what moves are next and how does it impact potentially those that are next, like a Taylor Decker and a Jared Goff. But for now, I'm looking forward to it. Going to dial up Eric Kramer, former Detroit Lions quarterback, and we're going to have a great conversation talking about the Detroit Lions, today's news, and what this week means to him, having the draft in Detroit, seeing all the buzz nationally about the Detroit Lions heading into 2024. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Eric Kramer. We have the pleasure today to be joined by former Detroit Lions quarterback Eric Kramer, winner of the 1991 playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys, author as well, talking about mental health and the importance of dealing with depression and living a healthy mental health lifestyle. Eric, so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join us today on the All Lions podcast. Looking forward to talking about the Lions in a big week that they got upcoming with the draft.
Yeah, they've had a big, year? Last couple, really, but more last year, and then obviously this week with the draft being here in Detroit is an exciting time. Obviously, the city's never had a draft before like this, so that's fantastic. So anyway, it's good things, and the arrow is obviously pointing up in this town and for this team.
Absolutely. That's where I wanted to get started. How did you experience last season? Obviously, the team has been rebuilt. Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have built an identity with this football team, identifying gritty, tough football players. They understand the type of players that they want. And then to see what they were able to accomplish 2 years ago, they were able to carry it over and have momentum in 2023, and it resulted in the team making it to the NFC Championship game.
Well, I think last year was a culmination, right, of all of the good choices that were made leading up to that. and I think it obviously, from my perspective, it starts with the organization itself and, you know, Mrs. Hamp Ford, who I think has done a tremendous job in sort of getting the right people, the right decision makers in place, and then making herself available and accessible to all the people that combined to make that effort. And I think they've drafted well. And I think in particular, what's impressed me is the offense and defensive lines, which is where most games are won or lost, they've got two of the best in the league. And then you add in the cast-off quarterback in Jared Goff, who, since he's been with the Lions, has done nothing but, I guess, exceed the expectations, especially of at least the Rams, who, for all intents and purposes, let him go. And then has done nothing but really fulfill the Lions' expectations. And what stood out to me last year, above all else, was how well he started out playing, then supposedly hit the skids there for a few weeks late in the season. And everybody that was patting him on the back and what a great decision the Lions had made and what a great story Jared Goff is, all of a sudden saying, well, is he? And then he changed not a bit. The Lions changed not a bit. They supported him all the way through. He relied on what got him there and will continue to do that. And then became the story of what a great turnaround he was, which he really wasn't. He was just doing what he did every other week. And I think when you combine all of the skill players on both sides of the ball as well, that's why the Lions were who they were. And obviously Dan Campbell is everybody's favorite NFL coach these days, and not by accident. He was a former player, has built a coaching staff of not just former players, but great teachers and people who believe in the people they're teaching. And so I think the combination of the organization has, I think, set the standard right now for what an organization should be, top to bottom.
Yeah, and at the new uniform reveal event, Sheila Hamm said it. She said the 2024 goal is to win the trophy. She talked about bringing home a Super Bowl to Detroit, which I think this fan base deserves, a loyal fan base, passionate fan base. You saw at the new uniform reveal event, 5,000 units sold right away. The demand and the attention for this team is off the charts. But I do want to talk about Jared Goff from your perspective, being a former quarterback. You see a player that many did feel was the throw-in in the Stafford trade, but I think he utilized that perfectly to motivate himself to show that, hey, I was a former number one overall pick. I do have some skills. I took and was part of a Los Angeles Rams team that got to the Super Bowl. And I think that the way in which he conducts himself is probably a perfect fit for Detroit. Calm, cool, collected. I think he is probably going to earn a long-term extension and be the quarterback of the future for the Lions. What about his makeup do you think makes him such a solid fit here in Detroit?
Well, I think part of the makeup is what I alluded to before. You say he was part of and led a team to the Super Bowl in the Rams. I would say that he was on the team. And then if you ask all the Rams from back in that Super Bowl, he was the reason they lost it. And when I watched the game, I would agree. What I've seen since then, though, is what really Jared Goff is about. One thing to be the number one overall pick, then you got to live up to those expectations, which, you know, he really didn't. But now he is. Now that he's with Detroit, he's matured. He's grown into that position of not just being a talented player, but a leader. And however that shows up, it could be he could choose not to say a word and just lead by example, which is, I'm going to guess, I don't know Jared personally, but I'm going to guess that's more of his demeanor than sort of an outspoken Patrick Mahomes. And so however you do it, all people want to know is one thing. We all can see people have talent. What do you do when things don't go right? Are you still that same person? And I think Jared Goff has proven that he's that same person and has earned a lot of respect from those around him.
Yeah, now you heard the news on Wednesday. Brad Holmes did take care of two of the foundational pieces in Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell. The draft and develop model and taking care of your own is something that this team has publicly said, and they're living up to it. And it's just been good to see the players that have been targeted execute and live up to expectations. But now it's a different time for the Detroit Lions. We'll spend some time talking about the 90s and your time with the Lions. I'm looking forward to it. I was a youngster when you guys were able to get that playoff win. One of the thrills of being a football fan. But now this football team is entering into a new era with expectations, elevated expectations, where getting to the NFC Championship in 2024 is not going to sit well. It's now time. The expectation is this football team gets to the Super Bowl and potentially beyond, maybe even win it. When you see this kind of spot that they're in, what do you think this kind of football team, where it's at now, what kind of areas or what does it take to kind of get over that hump from being a good team that can win playoff games to a team that can win championships and Lombardi trophies?
Well, I think it's just being consistently good at what you're consistently good at. So, and the Lions were that last year. They put themselves in position and really should have won that NFC Championship game. It was really in their control, and they let it slip away. So when you ask, what does it take? Not to let it slip away. Basically, good teams do the right things at the right time so that they're on the other side. So they come out of that tight game winning the game, moving on to a Super Bowl winning that game. And I think it's just, I think the Lions don't have to do anything more than what they've done to get here. And they're going to have, I guarantee you, they're going to have a good draft. I guarantee you that their expectations, as you mentioned, have risen, but so has their cohesiveness and the collaboration amongst the players and the coaches. All of that's going to increase and be better than it was even last year. So I think you're right. I think the expectations have risen, but also the capabilities have risen.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's fun to see now at Ford Field, the Jared Goff chants, the passionate fan base that really helped be part of two playoff wins at Ford Field, with one of the last playoff victories being back in the 90s, back in 1991. I'm just curious. It was a great time, that 91 season. It was a football team that had a lot of talent, led by yourself, and one in which eventually got to the point where they're playing a team that also was heralded in the Dallas Cowboys. Now, for me, the experience was great. As a youngster, as a young 12, 13-year-old, going over to a friend's house, that game against the Cowboys got out of hand, and it was something that you got to experience, a home playoff victory with the crowd being ultra-supportive. What was that 1991 season like for you as you reflect on it, and then also culminating in that playoff victory?
Well, I think that team, to me, in the early 90s, was very much like this current team the Lions have right now. We were a good team across the board. We were young for the most part. And what I remember of that season, it was Rodney Pete started out that season playing great. And then it was against Dallas that he tore his Achilles. And then I came in to replace him, and we just kind of picked up. We actually won that game, but when lost the next two. But then we went on a run and didn't lose again. And so it was, to me, the reflection of that team and why it's so much like this one is that it wasn't any one person. It wasn't any particular side of the ball. We were good offensively, defensively, special teams, which people don't give a lot of credit to. I think Frank Gans had to go down as one of the best special teams coaches of all time. I wasn't even on special teams, and I would sit in his meetings just because of him. So I think there was, again, a lot of cohesiveness amongst the players. What there wasn't back then was what there is now, which is what you just mentioned, locking up players who have proven what they can do and not letting them slip away, which is, if you look back then, free agency had just begun in the early 90s. I think 92 was the first year. And if you look back then, there was basically in the NFC three teams that took advantage of that time. It was the Packers, the Cowboys, and the 49ers. One team that wasn't in that group was the Lions. And had we done what they did, we would have won a couple Super Bowls for sure. And that's where I see this team going now is, again, a very young, talented group. But the difference making is the organization itself and the decision makers seem to know what they're doing and are they, starting with Brad Holmes, they do make good collective decisions. As you mentioned, not just building through the draft, they've made good free agency moves that go under the radar. And I think that's why this team is now on the right side of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think also a similar aspect of the current Lions and the past Lions, too, is I think Dan Campbell, with his big personality, very similar personality traits to Wayne Fonts. I think a person that could galvanize a room, that could garner attention, but also the respect of the players being a football mind. What was it like playing for Coach Fonts? And also, too, what has, from your perspective, led Dan Campbell to be able to maintain the respect of a locker room, because that's not easy in today's age either.
True enough. And I'll start with Dan. I don't know him personally, but I'm hopeful to get to know him a little bit, is that being a former player, I think he's been in the locker room. He's done what it's taken to get to that level, be productive, learn along the way. He wasn't an all-star player, fine. What he was an all-star listener. And learn how to use his experience as both a player and a coach, assistant coach, to become not only a head coach, but head of an organization in which, to me, it looks like he's a good communicator, exceptional, but so are all those around him who he chooses to be part of his inner core. And I think that's the separator between maybe him and who I played for in Wayne Fonts. Wayne wasn't a former player. Wayne did not, I would say, galvanize that team. He was a more defensive-minded coach and really had zero to do with the offense. And I mean that in the most literal sense. And I think, again, it was players that took it upon themselves to learn the best they could, do the best they could, and show up on game day and be prepared. And that's why that team fell apart. And that's why this team won't.
Yeah, no, it's something that we are also looking for current success. But what Brad Holmes has constantly also said is sustained success. And that's why these tough decisions will be made in the draft and free agency. And that's something that I think this fan base also deserves, is a football team that they can be proud of that can also sustain success, not just be a one-hit wonder. And that's why this season is going to be so key against first-place opponents. It's going to be very much integral that this football team continue their progress and their upward ascent and make sure that they continue on the upward climb. And I think that's what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes will bring to the table, is that, hey, they will galvanize an organization and, hey, they've stuck to a plan. And it's something that has been very rewarding to see moving forward. You're in town for the draft. How are you going to experience the upcoming draft here in Detroit? I've had a couple opportunities to get downtown. The stage looks lovely. You know, Detroit over the years now has really rebuilt in so many different aspects, that the downtown area with the stadiums, the ballparks, the infrastructure has been totally reformed. And just for me, walking down there has been so rewarding to see now this culmination. I just, in any aspect where the national media can come to town and see Detroit and what it can bring to the table, I'm excited for what's going to happen over the next couple of days. How are you taking it in?
I would agree with you. So to hit the rewind button, to go back to the early 90s, I was here 90 through 93, so 4 years. In all of that time, guess how many times I was actually downtown?
Less than five.
Zero. So you're right. Less than five. Zero. And I think I went over and visited a friend in downtown today. So I'm staying out in Allen Park. And on the drive over there, I could see the beautification process going on in Detroit ways. And there's where there used to be stone cement, there's now grass and flowers and a Detroit sign. And I think the I haven't been down to the area yet where the draft is going to take place, but I think it's a great opportunity, which Detroit is obviously seizing now, to like the world's coming to your doorstep. And so they're taking the necessary steps to present, Detroit in its best light, which I think is fantastic because, as we all know, now the Lions are downtown. Now the Pistons are downtown. In fact, the Lions are right across the street from the Detroit Tigers. And I think the area that this draft is going to take place, it's going to showcase the best of what Detroit has to offer. We all know what an electric atmosphere the draft itself is, which is not what it used to be. And so it's a happening. And I was talking with somebody down at breakfast this morning. He's like, "Yeah, my wife and I are getting out of here for the 400,000 or so people that are going to show up here for the draft." And yeah, I go, "I'm one of them." So but I'm not going to the draft itself. I'm more going to be going to some of the draft related events that are going on in town around it.
Yeah, I would be remiss. I do want to ask you about the position at quarterback because a lot has been made about kind of the new era of quarterbacks, their mobility, a little bit more athletic. Tom Brady had a very interesting assessment, knowing just kind of discussing that quarterback's preparation in college might not be as stringent as it may need to be to run pro style offenses. And you look at it and you see the play across the field. You have quarterbacks that maybe get 2, 3 seasons with a team and then they're traded. And it's such a fickle position. I understand it's one of those key spots for a football team, but it just feels like you look at it just feels like there's only a handful that really grasp it and can perform that position at a high level, and then there's the rest that are really just trying to understand what it's like to run a team and play that position. Just from your understanding and knowledge of the position and seeing what you see now, what can quarterbacks do a little bit better to and maybe give themselves more of a chance to be successful playing NFL football?
Well, I would agree with what Tom Brady said there. I didn't hear him say that before, but hearing it now, I agree that coming out of college, the college type of offense, let's just take Caleb Williams, for example, is not what he's going to step into in Chicago. And so the preparation, and you can see this. So the reason they drafted Caleb Williams for what goes on the field is he's athletic. He's got a great arm. He can anticipate throws. He's accurate. Here's what he's not. He doesn't take he I talked with a former teammate of mine who is an executive with an NFL team now, and he goes, "Here's what I don't like. He makes the game too difficult." So I don't know if you remember this a few years ago when Patrick Mahomes was doing just that. And it took him a while to figure out, "Hey, I got to go back to doing my ABCs. When the guy's open, the first guy that I look at, get him the ball. Don't say, 'Oh, he's only 5 yards downfield.' Look for the 25-yard throw across the field, then come back." Now that everybody's covered. And now you're doing what Caleb Williams does, is run around and make plays. What he needs to do is come and play in the offense as it was designed to operate, which is drop back, read the coverage, make the throw. What he has the ability to do that I haven't seen everybody have is eventually, let's say the defense is in some zone coverage. Well, here's what happens. In everybody's offense now, you're going to run two guys into one key defender zone, right? One guy's responsible for two zones. So therefore, you either have to do one of two things. You have to freeze him where he's at and pick a guy, or you have to, in where he's moving, continue to move him over there and throw opposite him. That's what Caleb Williams can do, but he needs to actually do it in a simplified way where you're not looking to make home run throws. You can't hit 8-run home runs. When you hit one over the fence, it counts for one run. So that's what happens. Make good decisions, good throws, make first downs. First downs lead to more possessions, lead to touchdowns. So you're not going to come out of the game with 15 touchdown throws. Come out of it with three that culminate, or they're just good decisions based on one more play.
No doubt. And we've enjoyed our conversation talking with former Lions quarterback Eric Kramer. I'm wondering, one last thought here. What would it mean for this fan base that has been through the ups and downs with this football team, has been supportive through lean years? Really, you look at it now with a successful team, 20,000 individuals on the waiting list for season tickets. What would it mean for this fan base if one day, if in the not too distant future, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, and the coaching staff were able to lead this group of men to win a Super Bowl?
Well, here's what I told people last year. Had they won that NFC championship game, which they should have, and had they won the Super Bowl, which could have been a real possibility, then that was played on a Sunday. Monday morning, I'm not sure there would have been a city of Detroit to come back to. So that's what's waiting for the Lions should they get over the hump, like we all know and believe they will, and they will. Because you're right, this fan base has been waiting since, what was it, 1957 or whatever, and so before the Super Bowl era. And so now, should they bring home a Lombardi trophy, this place will go crazy.
No doubt. And I just want to thank you for creating great memories for me, being a young Lions fan, seeing what the beginning of what hope looks like when you see the Lions dominate the Cowboys in a playoff game, just the atmosphere that it was. It was such a great time. And even though the 90s were interesting for the Lions and didn't produce a lot of playoff wins, there still were a lot of winning seasons, still was a lot for a young fan to grab onto and to give you that hope. And now in 2024, the opportunity is there for this Lions team to take the reins and eventually bring it. Eric, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully your stay in Detroit again this time is fruitful. And for those around, I know you'll be shaking hands and reminding people of your time with the Lions in the 90s. People will still come up to you and thank you for the things that you did for the Lions during your four-year run and the things that you've done away from the field in the work of mental health as well. We thank you because it's definitely worthwhile and noble, the things that you've done away from the football field.
Appreciate that, John. Appreciate being on, and go Lions.